Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Mary Beth Peters. She's the Register of Copyrights. Good morning, Mary Beth.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is John Lainhart. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Mary Beth, perhaps you could begin by telling us the history of the Copyright Office and how its mission relates to the Library of Congress.
Actually, it's a pretty interesting story. From the Constitution of the United States, which has the basis for copyright protection in it, to the first law that was passed in 1790, there was a feeling that there should be the deposit of a work that was being protected by copyright. And that was to be given to some entity within the United States government. And then that there was to be a record of what that work was and who the author was and who owned it. The deposit provision went to the Department of State in the beginning. The registration requirement went to the courts where you lived. In the 1860s, the librarian realized that those deposit copies were not being used. And he had a library that he was trying to build, and he decided that if he took on the copyright system, the deposit function, that was a great way to build the National Library of the United States. And actually, there was a struggle between the Smithsonian and the Library of Congress, and the Library of Congress became the depository, official depository. He realized that he didn't know what was being published unless he also had the records to find out who said they owned what. So he said, I'll take that too. So in 1870, the registration function came to the library with the deposit function. And so the sole goal for the librarian was to acquire materials for the benefit of the people of the United States, to be the archive of material that was published in the United States.
What gets copyrighted?
Anything that's considered a writing of an author. And it's unbelievably broad. It's from a book that an author writes, a song, a choreography, a design of wallpaper, a design for a rug. It's got maps. It's got sound recordings, obviously music, motion pictures, computer programs, websites. Unbelievably broad range. If you were to take a tour of our office and see what comes in, you'd be amazed. So it's got to be something that an author created and didn't copy from somebody else. And it can't be totally a useful article. But beyond that, it's very broad in its scope.
Yeah, I took a tour of the Copyright Office, and we were pulling some random filings and got lucky, I guess, in that we pulled the Greyhound bus logo. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting because we tried a number, and we got lucky by pulling that. I was wondering, how many applications do you get a year?
The number of applications and the number of actual works don't totally relate because it's possible to put more than one work on an application. So the number of applications, for example, for last year was over a little over 600,000. The number of works was well over 800,000.
It's a lot.
It's
sure.
A lot. It's a lot.
Besides applications, what other requests does your office get?
We have a very broad area of responsibility. So in addition to registering authors' claims, there are documents that reflect agreements between authors and publishers, between book publishers and motion picture companies, between banks who loan money. So those are called documents. And we record those documents for the public record so people can know who owns what when and what the nature of the transfer was. We also have a licensing function. There are statutory licenses for cable television systems to retransmit television programming and satellite systems to do the same. There's probably four or five altogether. In some of them, we collect the money, and then we collect claims from people who believe they should be getting the money. And then when they can't agree on how the money should be split, there are arbitration proceedings that we oversee. And the amount of money we're talking about is well over $200 million a year. And it's invested and it grows significantly. And we recently completed one of those with regard to webcasting of sound recordings. Then there's all the public service functions. We maintain a very active public information part of our office where we answer questions over the telephone. We have a website that basically has all of our information online, including frequently asked questions, testimony, all of our publications. People need to get a copy of a work because they're going to court. We make the copies. We search our records. And then we have a huge amount of legal responsibilities in both the domestic and international area.
You've described so much. What are the responsibilities in your job?
The register is the chief lawyer for the office and also the key manager. I spend probably 60% of my time on legal issues and 40% on management issues. Obviously, in the management side, we've been focusing how can we do our job better? How can we reorganize ourselves to be more efficient? And what kind of technology do we need? On the legal side, it varies on any given day. Tomorrow, there will be a case in the Supreme Court on a law that was passed extending the copyright term that is being challenged as unconstitutional. So yesterday we were preparing the Solicitor General for that argument. We were helping prepare him. It was the Justice Department who was really preparing him. We're dealing with a bill that was introduced and passed in the House yesterday that undoes the work in some aspects with our arbitration panel on webcasting and basically addresses some of the complaints that small webcasters had. We're looking at all the issues with online distribution of works. And internationally, we're looking at treaties to make sure that in an online environment, as works pass across borders, that there is, to the extent possible, as much harmony in laws as there possibly can be.
Can you tell me about your career as the Register of Copyrights and prior to that, how you got there?
Let me start with prior to there. I never had a goal to be a lawyer. And I never had a goal to head a government agency. I came from a family of teachers, and so I started my career as a junior and senior high school teacher of social studies. But I made a decision to move from the very small state of Rhode Island to Washington, D.C., to broaden my horizons, and had a senator who was chairman of the Committee on the Library of Congress and said, why don't you look there? That's all he said. And I looked there, got a job basically dealing with classifying books. And there was a lecture on copyright along with everything else the library did. And I said, gee, that sounds interesting. And the truth is, I am a frustrated musician. And I said, that's the branch of the law that deals with music. And I walked in one day and said, I'm going to go to law school, and I think you should give me a job. And they gave me a job as a music examiner. And I went to law school nights. And when I graduated, I just stayed because the government was a good employer. And the kinds of things we were doing was so interesting. And the goal was never to head the agency. The goal was to do the job that you have to the best of your ability. And when opportunities above me became available, I'd think, well, I could do that. And that went all the way to the top.
Earlier when you were describing your responsibilities, you described a lot of things. Tell me about the team you work with, how many people there are, and what their skills are.
If you heard, there's a very diverse number of things that we do. The team that I work with most directly are actually the lawyers. Although in my career, I've been chief of many of the divisions in the office, including examining division, which is one of the key divisions, and I've actually been acting general counsel. We have two sets of lawyers, one a general counsel's office that deals with regulations and lawsuits, whatever. We also have a legal division, policy and international affairs. Of course, each are headed by lawyer and staffed by lawyers. Another key position in the office, of course, is a chief operating officer, chief of staff, and it's sort of the same person who does that. And that group is the group that I work with the most. Then there are the division chiefs that I meet with who are key to all of the work that I do. And it depends on the job, what you're looking for. Probably our largest division is the examining division that looks at the works that are coming in and makes the decision to register or not. And the skill there is that you have analytical ability, that you have the ability to communicate in writing and orally, and hopefully you have an interest in the arts or the creative process, because that makes you identify with the process and therefore get more excited about your job than you otherwise might.
That's a good stopping point. We've got to go to a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation about management with Mary Beth Peters of the Library of Congress. Copyright material is often thought about as paper. What complexities is the digital age bringing? We'll ask Mary Beth when the Business of Government Hour returns.